Do you know what your partner's up to when you're away and they're all alone?
No, what?
They're listening to the Screw podcast, of course.
What's that?
Sit back, relax, and listen.
And you're an orgasm addict. You're an orgasm addict. Sneaking in the back door with dirty magazines. So your mother wants to know what all the stains on your jeans. And you're an orgasm addict.
No, we don't have to clap. We're on the same channel now, so like it's recording both of our sound at the same time. So it's
I feel like such a geek
like having learned all this
in a best way. Thank you for learning things for our podcast, A-Love, and welcome to the Screw.
Welcome. Wouldn't it be cool if it was like DJ A-Love at like Ibiza or something?
I used to call myself DJ by Felicia.
Oh, yeah. I like that. Oh, that would have been such a cool like touring name. I love that.
Yeah. I just never learned how to DJ. And then I just never did it. So
yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah,
you just forget to do the thing on your to-do list, you know?
So I have to give a full disclaimer. Oh my God, I'm not even in this. Okay. I'm not even in this video. We're just like recording, like I'm like the man with half a fucking face. So I'm clearly very high. Let's
agree. Yeah. I did weed for the first time in like 3 weeks today.
Oh,
so.
Nice. And you know the fun thing about, like, I was thinking, I'm like, this is why I love weed, at least for me in my experience, is that like when you don't smoke it even for like a few days, you get so fucking high again.
I hadn't smoked in 3 weeks and I smoked in the sun.
Oof.
And it was very hot. It was 80.
Did you have water? So did you hydrate?
Yes. Oh, I got so baked. And then I talked my roommate's ear off, which I have to apologize for after the podcast because
God, that's so beautiful.
I could tell she was like, shut your mouth. But she would have never played.
That's so funny. I mean, so like it was really weird because for a minute, like, you know, when you're like walking down in like, let's say a supermarket aisle or in my case, a university like library where there's lots of people around, and like I went into the audio booth to record this podcast and I was like perfectly, you know, my usual charming self, and then like, you know, I got set up and like I vaped up a little bit in the booth, and so I was like super high, but I really wanted to pee before the podcast started. So I walked through these aisles and you like just get, I'm like, everybody knows I'm high. And like, and that only happens to me when I've like stopped
when you
for a while.
Haven't smoked in a while.
Yeah, because like typically, and I kind of like,
normally we are functional stoners when we're actively smoking, but when we don't smoke for a while, we get actual highs. We get paranoid, we get the munchies.
God. It was kind of
all
fun
the things
though.
We don't really it's like you've experienced being high for the first time again. You know, it's interesting how that works.
Well, the two young gentlemen who do their like college work study thing for the audio booth, they know me from like recording this a lot, and they're like really chill. One of them is like very tall, like taller than me. And like, so it's always weird for me when someone taller than me is like talking to me because I feel like they're a giant and they may only be like my height or a half an inch taller, you know, because you're so.
Well, yeah, but you're pretty tall. Yeah.
I am pretty fucking tall as it turns out. So now because I realize how many of the, like people out here fetishize like height, I changed my profile to like say that I was 4 feet tall. Because like I would get just like hit up all the time.
Now, but you're. People are gonna fetishize you on the opposite end.
Oh shit! Like, I didn't even think of that. So what
should just put like a 5'9",
like 5'10"?
Yeah, 5'9", 5'10". Yeah.
But like, then, like, what if I wanna like hook up with them, and then they're like fucking petrified? Is it like not disclosed? Like, I feel like is that a thing? If you show up for a hookup and you're like way taller than you said,
more intimidating in some aspect, and I feel like height can be intimidating to some. Yeah. Maybe that's not okay. But why don't you disclose it before you meet up? So you put it in your profile to get rid of the fetishists.
Okay.
And then you tell them, oh, for the record, I don't usually tell people, but I'm actually this height. I don't tell people because I get fetishized a lot for it, and I'd rather get to know people before, you know, like an organic level.
Well, right. Something. I mean, it's such a weird thing, right? You know, and like, I know as the longer I live, the more I'll see, as they say. But like, I hadn't really ever thought about this thing, but I realized that a lot of like tops who are shorter or people who like to top. I'm trying to get away from saying top and bottom as like identities. I'm like trying to like, because it's bullshit, it's obnoxious. So like guys who are
people that like to top, sure.
Yeah, shorter guys like that like to top. When they like, they'll go, really? 6'5"? Nah, I don't top like taller dudes or whatever. I'm like, that's so like weird. Why? And then I don't know. Like, I don't, it's got to be tied with like some like machismo bullshit or like toxic masculinity, like yeah, stuff. You know, sense. Like, you know, we, every culture has a version of it. It's like stupid.
I can't imagine saying like, I won't. It's one thing to be like, I don't want to date somebody a certain height or something because I don't really know why, but let's pretend like you like feeling little,
right,
and you want to, and you date somebody bigger for that reason or something like that, you know. I can't imagine it mattering when it comes to sex, though. Mm. Like, who gives a shit?
We're all the same height on our backs, honey. No, but you know what I used to hear? Like,
what I mean, though. Like,
I used to hear that from a lot of my female friends that, like, they don't want to date a guy that's shorter than them.
That's, so, but I'm not talking about that. I'm specifically talking about sex.
Well, yeah, because, yeah, no, for sure.
Yeah,
for sure.
That's, I like, I know that.
But I think, I feel like there,
people want to feel smaller sometimes. Like, that's what I'm talking about.
No, no, for sure. Oh, you mean like, as a more like fetish.
If you're just fucking, why do you care what height someone is?
I don't know.
Like, that doesn't matter.
I mean, it's got to be about like some power play, right? Like, there's, you know, we have all these like socially engineered things going on with like gender and sexuality.
Sure. And I get that that's like the root of it, right?
Right.
But like, if you're attracted to somebody and you're like, okay, like whatever you've seen about them or like the vibe is there, that's when it's like, I'm not talking about like, oh, my general attraction when I go to a bar, for example. You know, right. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, like, getting to know somebody on an app, right? And you just want to fuck. Why do you, like, maybe...
Why do you care, right?
Be a little bit more open-minded. Maybe it'll be more...
Oh, yeah. Well, like, expand your... I don't know. What do they say? Like, I don't know. Like, just...
Put on a fucking... Like, put on a different personality for the night or something. Yeah, you know, like,
just
I'm
like,
not the guy that wants the short guy today. I don't know.
It's not even, like, about expanding your horizons. It's, like, kind of, like, I don't know, deconstructing some of your, like, must-haves, maybe. Because, like, there's, like, these no ideal... people.
Those are the times, that's what I mean, right? In a sexual scenario, that's the best time to toy around with something that maybe in a dating scenario you'd be a little less comfortable with.
Sure, exactly.
You know? Maybe you don't like looking tall next to your partner because of whatever, you like to feel small, whatever the reason is, right? And then, okay, so that's a dating thing, though. But totally. Who fucking cares?
Well, and you know what I was thinking about it, too? It's like, it would seem to me that it would like be even more empowering to be like a littler guy fucking banging the fuck out of like some tall giant dude, right? Like you know, like your manhandle. I mean, because that, like, that's the problem with like this topping like stereotype, is that it's like all about like dominate, like that it's connected to all these other ideologies about sex.
It's very gendered. It's gendered. Also, I mean,
yeah, absolutely,
there's more to it than just that, and I don't even want to get into it, but
yeah,
you know, there's a lot that goes into the psychology of sex in general and why we get to where we are. But that's what I mean, it's like, things don't matter anymore, try it out. Fucking whatever. You know, especially something like that. I mean, like, I'm not saying if you don't want to try butt sex, don't try butt sex. Okay, fine. That's a physical thing.
Sex
with somebody taller, like, that's like the most vanilla thing you can try on the menu. A different height than normal. Like, what?
Yeah. It seems kind of like,
hang up about it.
It seems like kind of middle school dorkiness when like kids start making fun of
me. It's a weird specification.
Yeah.
It's one thing to be like, oh, I really want somebody taller.
Right.
Like, cool. But like, to rule out people that aren't taller is just boring. I don't know. Whatever. You can have, my point is you can have preferences, but I think sex is the place where you should try things that don't have, like, there's no repercussion to that. Yeah. You don't look like a, I don't know. A lot of women are like, people that I talk to are often like, I feel like a big bitch when I'm hanging out with a short guy, right? Okay. I don't want to feel like a big, tall woman. Like, I don't want to feel like a giantess, whatever. Okay. That's when you're walking down the street with them. If you're just fucking them, like, that's where it doesn't matter. There's no repercussion. There's no societal.
Well, there must be like,
aside from what's in your own head. So get out of it. Get out of your own way with it, right?
Well, I mean, yeah. And I think it sounds, I guess, somewhat that there's like some sort of insecurity that goes along with it either way, right? Like, but like, I don't, you know, I don't know what, you know, I mean, for everybody, like, we've had that discussion before. Some people like to get spanked because they were humiliated and spanked as a kid, and some don't. You know, and like, that's like interesting when you look at any of these things. There's many ways to of which a person not only has a fetish for something, but is also like really insecure
or gross.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I get it. I get that there's psychology there. I'm not saying that I don't understand.
No, I'm not trying to. Yeah, no, for sure.
Typically a societal influence. So my point is, shut up your brain for the societal shit. And just try something new once in a while. Mm. I don't know. It's not gay to get your dick sucked. Just get your dick sucked, right? Man, woman, who gives a shit?
Girl, you just advocated for a whole bunch of queens out there.
I'm trying to say, though. Like, I don't know.
I know. I'm just fucking
We often, like, defend why we like the things. But it's like, okay. But why can't we try the thing?
No, for sure, for sure. Yeah, I mean,
new flavor on the menu, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I would have thought with like all this TV and movies and stuff by now, people would have expanded their vocabulary a little bit, so to speak, and like,
yeah.
But you know,
well, we're also we are creatures of habit, right?
True.
Oh, you know, it was very ergonomical that time I slept with that guy that was 5'9". So for the rest of my life, I want to sleep with a person that's 5'9". You know, people get weird stuff in their head about things like that, too. They're like, he really hit that spot. He hit my P-spot perfectly. Fantastic. Okay. I want somebody in that height range and that body size. That's a thing, too, you know?
No, for sure.
Anecdotal evidence that it works better
for
or something.
I got to tell you, as like, you know, being like taller, that like it's very enjoyable to like not be absolutely like crushed into the bed by the person who is like topping you. So it alleviates like my back pressure and like the sheer heat too. Like the heat stays like just hot enough without getting like, you know, and I love me some bigger men, but like sometimes I'm getting older, that shit wear me out. Like, sorry. I don't know who possessed me. It was my sex demon.
I just remember Samantha in Sex and the City had a moment where I think it was like a real Italian guy. Like he was flirting with her all night, and then he got up from his chair to like go home with her, and he was much shorter. And you know, listen, this show does not hold up political correctness wise. Obviously she made lots of like jokes using slurs essentially that are now what we consider slurs. At the time, it, you know, there wasn't that same consideration for language, if you will.
Sure.
But the whole point of the episode is that like while she's fucking, it didn't make a goddamn difference, you know. And she ended up not wanting to date him because she felt tall around him. She felt big. She wanted to feel petite. Okay, fine. Okay. That's a preference. You're allowed to have a preference of wanting to feel petite. But when it came to in the bedroom, she did not give a shit because it didn't have any repercussion for her. She didn't need to feel petite in the sheets, if you will.
Well, fine. But what is the emotional like connection to like wanting to feel petite like in the street, well, like as an adult like woman?
That's a woman experience. If from you know. At least in the generation I grew up in, the idea was you have to be smaller than the person that you are dating. Hmm. You have to appear, whether it's weight, height, not that I agree with any of that.
No, for sure.
But there was a lot of like jokes about when the woman was like, remember, what is it? Like, was it Shallow Hal? Like, was like so tall she wasn't in the frame. Like, right. She didn't have a head, you know, like that kind of bullshit, you know,
yeah.
Of like, you know, the guy needs to look bigger and more macho because that's the way that, you know, optically,
right,
it's supposed to present itself, which is stupid and silly, but that is how society raised me. At least I was always raised to want to feel small,
right.
And then I lost my virginity to somebody that was shorter than me, you know? So like, it doesn't, it's like, it's an interest, because it didn't matter, you know? And I dated him for a while. So it's interesting how like you're taught to feel versus when you actually get into the thick of it and you start to dissect that feeling and you realize, oh, it doesn't fucking matter.
Well, or you start to realize how like limiting choices really does limit choices, you know?
True.
Like,
yeah.
It's an, if it's a numbers.
He's a great guy, but yeah. He's too short. Like, okay. Ugh,
if it's boring. A numbers game, I guess it's really just about like what you want to put higher up your priority pool. Is it like caring and empathetic, or is it like tall?
Maybe, I don't know. Maybe because I'm bisexual, hope for you. It's not the same for me. Like, right. You know, I've been the bigger girlfriend to a girl. I've been the bigger girlfriend to a guy, you know, but like, I think because I date women as well, I think that it changes it for you. Like that height thing doesn't
have like a little leveling effect.
The same weight. unless you still want to feel petite. And I have been with women that are bigger than me that like make me feel petite. And that's nice too. But it's just like a fleeting feeling for me. It's not like an undying need. I do not need to feel like an itsy baby, you know? Like, that's just a once in a while, it's nice to feel like somebody can wrap their arms around
you. Yeah, cuddled and cared for. Yeah. I mean, people love me for that.
A small person can do that for you, too. Yeah, exactly. Like, you give great hugs because you're fucking...
I can reach around an elephant.
Yeah. 7'2".
Right.
Imagine
size 13 shoes, everyone.
Wait, how is that really your foot size? I thought it was 12.
No, 13. Oh. 12 for bowling shoes.
Weird.
It is okay. So weird. I don't know why bowling shoes fit differently than all other things. Like, I feel like I've asked the question before at the bowling alley because, you know, I'm Chatty Cathy. Like, so hey, do you know? Well, I'm usually stoned.
So wait, too. So you don't know the answer though?
I've heard,
because you're stoned usually.
Well, right, and the place that I've been bowling the most is in like Chicopee, Massachusetts. Right, I've never gone bowling anywhere.
And go like candlepin bowling.
Oh yeah, well, no, candlepin bowling used to be in my dad's hometown's town square. You would go underneath a building, and there was a candlepin bowling alley in the basement. Yeah.
So funny.
It was a dollar string.
Candlepin bowling was the first one I did, and it was fun.
Yeah, I mean it's hard. The tiny
I like regular bowling though.
Tiny balls are kind of hard, you know.
They are hard. So tiny balls are hard.
My partner and I went bowling like a couple of weeks ago, I think, you know, and like, you know, bowling like everything else in this godforsaken land has like become the most expensive activity on earth. We used to be able to afford this off of my fucking allowance and my 4-hour shift at Wendy's. I could afford to go to the bowling alley for 4 hours and get food.
They've bougified a lot of shit. That's
so
the problem.
Bougified.
It's like, now it's a fucking experience.
Yeah,
like,
this place was all like
throw a ball down a lane. Why does it have to be like techno lights and fucking neon and all these fucking noises? Those are fun, but like
that's exactly what that you described exactly what
we
did.
There's like music videos playing in the background.
Nickelback. Like, it was like a Nickelback. It was a Nickelback.
It was.
I'm in like New Mexico. Okay.
Like, terrible. I go to one here and it's like a whole hip hop night, which is cool. But not a lot of bowling gets done.
Yeah.
Know? I'm like, I'm here to fucking bowl.
The thing is now is they've become these huge kind of like mini entertainment franchises now too. Mm-hmm. So there's like a billiards room, which, you know, we've been to before, but this was actually the first time we've ever been bowling together. So it was like,
cute.
Yeah, I don't know why I have such a corny small town attachment to bowling. Like, who would have fucking thought, you know? But it's, I don't know. I like it because I guess I'm good at it. Like, my first ball that I threw, I got a strike. I was like,
mini golfing recently.
Oh, how did you do?
In a while.
Did you win?
I got a hole in one.
Oh, fuck.
I won.
Nice.
We were both way over par. We also were just kind of being goofy with it, so it was whatever. I went with my friend Tony.
Oh, nice.
But I did win, and I did get a hole in one. So, and then awesome. On the way out, we were gonna get ice cream, and the lady that worked there was like, "Oh, who got the hole in one?" I was like, "Oh, I did." She was like, "Oh, you owe him ice cream." I was like, "You bitch!" So I got him ice cream, obviously, but like, what kind of nonsense is that?
Oh my god, that's
first
so
of
cute.
All, you should give me a free ice cream, bitch. But I mean, it was cute, but it was also rude because
didn't they used to do? Do that at like mini golf courses in like Massachusetts. I feel like you.
I was in Massachusetts.
Oh, you were? Oh my god!
I went to Crystal fucking Caves in Auburn.
Oh my god!
Yeah, old school shit.
Oh my god! I haven't heard those words put together in so many years.
I know.
Auburn Crystal Caves.
One of my first boyfriends. That was our first date, and on our year anniversary, I had them put on the sign outside, like with the letters, it said happy anniversary and our names. And we drove up, he was so embarrassed, and it was so fun because I love embarrassing people.
Oh, that is so
like
cute.
like light embarrassment, not like harsh embarrassment, obviously, but yeah, I thought it was cute.
That he is totally cute. Cute. No, it's adorable as fuck. So yeah, oh my god, I have no segue.
Wait, you had a story though for me, and I need it.
Oh,
can
that's
we get to
it? Oh yeah, totally.
We're talking about bowling right
fuck you.
And I love you, and I want that story, but I don't think that people that are listening want that fucking
no,
story.
No, it's hot. I like one
I'm
of
just
the
kidding.
One of the first times I ever sucked cock was at the bowling alley. So
there we go. That's the story. Speaking of sucking cock, what was your story for me?
Okay, so right, so like, okay, we like went on the like porn venture like thing that we did, and so I was like, let's see if I can try to apply this a little bit to like erotica, you know, like which is usually like I've always said my go-to, you know,
yeah.
Over like pornos, because like I'm not like that rewind, jerk off, pause, slow motion. I'm not. That's not my skill set when I'm horny. Yeah, it's just like.
But reading is. I love that.
But reading is because, like, it takes one thumb to scroll up. And, like.
No, I mean, you and I have always liked lit erotica, yeah. So, you know, you don't have to, like, explain it.
So, like, I put in, like, something in, like, the search thing, like, to find, like, kind of. Like farm centered, like ranch. No, it wasn't farm. It was like ranch, like queer lit erotica.
Okay.
And so like I stumble upon this story, and it's crazy. It's got like, I don't know, like 25 parts to it or something. Like,
oh, Jesus.
I know.
Like a whole book.
And so, like, you know, I'm like, oh, this is one of those ones that, like, it's kind of like, what was it, that Dynasty or Dallas? Like which, those like, kind of nighttime miniseries soap opera kind of things. Like,
oh, yeah.
So it's, like, epic, and it, like, involves, like, three brothers, two sisters grew up on a, like, ranch in fucking some fuck square, like, and, like, there's horses and dad threw out the, like, eldest son because he was queer. And, like, many years later, he comes back with his husband. They live, like, from New York City-esque. Although, like, it just says the city. It never tells you what city. You know, but, like, I have to say there's a lot of character development. Like, the middle, like, brother is super homophobic. And then the youngest brother is, like, a burgeoning queer as well. But the, like, father falls off a windmill. I shit you not, a windmill that him and the boys are like trying to repair, and this is the homophobic one that kicked out the oldest. So he fucking he dies. And so like this long lost queer brother comes from New York City back to the ranch, which he hasn't been to in like 13 years, something crazy like that. It was like, it's like, they built such like thing. I thought, oh, this is going
to
be
the backstory. Just I don't need all that.
It's a lot of backstory.
It could just
right.
be my brother that hasn't visited in a while is coming back.
Yeah. So here's my thing. This is like much like a porno with too much, a video porno with too much, like, you know, expansive storyline and like written lines.
Yeah.
You know, and but like I recognize the value of that
soft
as well.
Core kinda. Yeah. Softcore is.
But this yeah. is like this. I mean, then it kind of like abruptly. No, I don't want to say abruptly, but like, you know, it's much more tame than anything I've probably read. So, you know, it is very like soap operatic and like, you know, it turns out the dude's husband, you know, used to like fuck around with this homophobic brother who's like apparently on the DL now. And like they recognize each other because the husband flies in for the father's funeral and like a fight ensues.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Like fisticuffs are thrown, tears, mothers in the kitchen yelling, "Boy, stop. Your father wouldn't want this."
I do not need a funeral in my literotica. I don't need I don't need a death. I don't need a funeral. I don't need any of that stuff in my literature.
Like, when is my dick supposed to be hard? Right. So it abruptly, periodically, after all this what do they call that? Like,
Exposition.
Exposition. Thank you. I'm getting old myself. That abruptly turns to, like, a, like, overtly sexual scene, you know? Like, they're just out there fighting, and then now the husbands have reunited, and he's going down on him because he feels bad about the fight.
Like, too quickly? Like, wait, we had all this exposition, yes. And now it's just, like, two sentences later they're fucking? Oh, come yeah. on.
But then, that's, like, as he's coming down from, like, his orgasm, the exposition starts up again. Like, it's like, holy shit.
So, wait, okay, was this just, like, somebody that had, like, written a story, and just because there was sex scenes in it, they submitted it to Literotica?
I wonder, but
that's what that sounds like. It sounds like the story is actually the star and not the sex scenes.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, like, that's, you know, that's the thing about some of these, like, erotica archives. Like, as we all know, like, not all posts are created equally, but, you know, not but it was kind of in the, what is it, their category, historical erotica, or not historical, oh my god, it's like agriculture, rural erotica, it's in their rural erotica section. Which,
so it has to be tamer?
Well, no, I don't think so, but it covers like a very particular scene, so I think they're just archiving, like, oh, this takes place on a ranch, because then they also did like trailer parks in Appalachia, and they were all like kind of included in the same sections. With like the mountain.
Just confusing to have all this story around very short sex scenes. Like,
yeah, how do you know?
Again, it sounds like he wrote this, or she wrote this, or they wrote this for something else.
Yeah,
and was like, I have sex scenes in this. I will submit to erotica, like literotica.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah. I guess it's like
just say yes, Aaron. Yes. I'm right.
Well, I don't know that.
Like, you're trying, like, well, I mean, but yes.
No, fair.
If the story isn't all foreplay into a long, drawn out sex scene. Using
well, no.
Words,
so
like,
I was just, you know, the part I was questioning, I was just thinking about like the foreplay. I mean, like, there's definitely a lot of, but it's like, it's this internal thought process.
It's like Hallmark Home for the Holidays.
And it's like, I looked at him and my lust gripped me while he was saying blah, blah, blah. And it's just like, I guess it's just very romantic, like, you know, romantically.
Yeah, like Hallmark. It's like the Hallmark version of literotica.
That's exactly what it is. Okay, glad we fucked that up.
I mean, I'm sorry that I forced you to say
no,
yes,
no. You're totally right. I mean, like, look, well, because I was trying to be critical of it. I was like, is there like a plane on which there is something that can be seen as like erotic enough to like
sure,
get
I'm
off
like,
to and not
right,
really
that,
not for me anyway
say,
not for me anyway
if you're just reading and the scenes don't give you enough description in the actual sex scenes, it sounds like it was like written for possibly being filmed And then like that's where like the heat would and intensity would come in, or it sounds like it was not written for erotica at all, and well, it was just
so submitted. the one thing that he did do, which like I've started seeing more in Literotica, was after like every chapter, he would put these links to like the dicks he imagined while he was writing this chapter. Yeah, I fucking shit you not. No, I'm not saying you're wrong. The writing doesn't match like the filth of like embedding dick pics in your story. But a lot of
maybe that's what it was. Maybe he was like, I didn't write enough filth.
So let me give you some.
Here's a visual aid.
Right. Like, who is reading it and looking at dick? I mean, not like, I guess somebody might be. I have no. It could be a new weird erotica fetish that I don't know about. Embedding, like.
I've read a lot of erotica that has a lot of exposition, but the exposition is. It's just as abundant, if not more. Or I'm sorry, the erotic part is just as abundant, if not more, than the exposition.
Sure.
You know, like that, like, yes, there's a lot of lead up, yes, there's chapters worth of building the suspense,
right?
But then the actual sex is very, it doesn't just happen.
Yeah.
And there's a really long lead into it, and then it's a really long scene,
right?
And there's flashbacks to it, and there, you know what I mean, like,
so I'm a real big fan of,
and then they went down on each other,
right? Exactly.
And then they went back to the church, you know? Like,
right. You know? So I'm a big 25-75 ratio, 25% like exposition, 75% sex, if you want me to continue reading or getting like through your erotica. And like it's what makes sense. And like if you put in your like erotica that like right after you came, like you guys started talking about food and where to go to dinner, like I'm not gonna read your stories. Like I cannot believe how many sex scenes end with, so what's for dinner? Are you fucking kidding me? It's some weird cliche that I don't think I understand. I, you know, if it's your thing, right on. But
yeah, I'm not shaming the writer. I'm sorry, but telling me what the dicks that you looked at and then not having enough dick scene.
No. And there was no description of like cock size. It was just like he pulled out his cock and did this. And it was like, now I feel bad. Maybe they're just really bad. Maybe they think they are writing erotica. I have no idea.
I don't know either, but I, yeah. That's weird. Well, that's not weird. It's just nothing I've run into before.
There was like a three scroll scene about the brother introducing him to like the horses on the ranch. And like,
what?
Yeah, it was so weird. And said, this was Jakey. We don't know. I mean, anyways.
Listen, you know what? There's, you know, maybe totally. Until this person's published, I have nothing to say.
Yeah. But like, so that's the porn I've been watching Wednesday or whatever. Because like, you know, I mean, yeah, it's tough out there. You know, like I think, you know, I want to go on some sort of like guru sexuality retreat, like out in nature and like get back in touch with my body. Because I feel like I've just been working like a maniac and, you know, it's tough.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, like you have to like
being
really
one with your body is tough.
It is definitely
it's
tough.
It's a thing you have to work on. You don't just feel it. I mean, sometimes you do, but if you have reasons to feel disconnected from it, whatever it might be, whether it's trauma, whether it's working too much, whether it's not sleeping enough, whether it's not using it enough, whatever the fuck. It's good to get back into that space with it, you know.
I'm always in this like balancing act of being like, well, you know, paying attention to my body makes me feel more energy, or like not feeling energy, I should pay attention more to my body or whatever, you know. It's, but you're also trying to be like mindful about like, don't waste your time on your planet as a sexual being, feeling yourself and all that, like, you know, for labor or whatever. Like, you know, you got to balance it. if you don't make time to have a good time, you're going to always have a bad time. That's how. Okay.
That's a very hippy dippy Aaron thing to say. I like it.
It is. And you know what?
Don't make time to have a good time. You're going to have a bad time. Tam-a-lam-a-lam.
No, totally. I mean,
no, it fucking makes sense. It's just the verbiage is funny. That's
well, you know, because like, it's tough. Like when, you know, anybody who's been in therapy, like you have these like conversations with your therapist that are kind of like, you know, at first you have like an expectation of like what they're going to say or how they're going to feel about what you say. And so like, you know, because they word things in a very like weird way sometimes that sounds like, you know, very like medical or something, you know, and like I feel like political people do that a lot too. Like, let's all speak as plainly as possible. This isn't a pissing match in terms of a world of like feeling good and being political and taking care of yourself. Like, let's not compete over that. Let's just like encourage each other to do that. Like, and there is like a lot of that, like kind of like very particular plastics kind of world, I guess, for lack of better terminology, where like that is a competition thing amongst friends and people, and you know, but like for us to feel good about ourselves, man, you really do have to be intentional. And like, it's a lesson I learn and forget over and over again in my life, which is okay, you know, like shit. There's a lot going on. So, you know, you try to like just ground yourself back in it again every time, because it's, you know, it is when I find that I thrive the best, when I'm like, all right, like, what do I need to do now to feel good? Whether it's pleasure or time to myself
or pain,
letting go time. Yeah, pain.
Pain is pleasure. So,
that, yeah.
Right?
That,
oh, just for me, at least.
Yeah. Well, no. I mean, yeah, no.
I haven't been watching anything. Have I been? No. No, I haven't really had a chance to do the ditty to myself. So.
Do the ditty dumb.
Sometimes you just... you're not doing yourself, which just is a thing.
Yeah, okay. it is. And I mean, yeah, and I mean, I that's another thing to accept on part of the thing too. Sometimes like you don't get to be mindful for yourself and do the stuff for yourself.
Oh, I was like, talking about watching porn. I wasn't talking about
Well, that is what I'm talking about as well.
Well, I was just sharing. You told me about the stupid Literatica shit that you read. I didn't get a chance to watch anything stupid or read anything stupid. So.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Because we all know how we love a good stupid.
Yeah. Like, reading of something. I've read a lot of stupid Literatica, and I hate to be a dick, but I'm sorry. Like, people, there's a reason why people just freely submit some of that shit. I'm like, what is this crap? Yeah. And then there's tons of really good stuff, but there's so many times where I'm like three scrolls into a fucking story and I'm like, oh my god, why did this go there? And then I gotta close out of it, you know, because it just didn't went somewhere weird, or not weird, but like, it went somewhere where it was not explained that it was going, and I was surprised, shocked, and horrified by it.
Yeah. So. Well, I also hate like a really hot buildup with like a really like short and like whatever climax, you know. Yeah. And it's hard with erotica, right? Like, you know, essentially everybody's thinking in their head like this, like it's over like a money shot in a porn. Like, once you've written the orgasm scene, like, what else do you write, you know? Like, but I think, you know, there could be more exposition around that part. You know, like laying in a hot sweaty pile of post-sex glee.
Well, why can't I mean, it's a story, why can't we all get hard again and do it again?
Right.
Seems like wasted, you know.
Yeah, this is, you know, this is the actually first really good analysis we've given of Literotica. We've read it on the podcast before, but I don't really think like we like critiqued it as such. I mean, it's easy to pull up stupid porns and it's easy to pull up stupid Literotica. Like that's a reality. It's a roll of the dice out there.
It is. You're always two clicks away from something you didn't want to ever put your eyes on.
Oh my God. It's so true. Or like, you know, there's too much of that these days. I scrolled across this like horrible politician out here. And like after I was like done reading all the awful things he's about, I like just felt horrible that I couldn't get that time back in my life. Like I was like, no. And I do feel that way sometimes with like porn scrolling. I'm not gonna lie. Yeah. I'm like, oh my God. Yeah. I'm exhausted and no longer horny.
That's a thing.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just like, yeah. Sometimes I bust the nut before I actually get to the thing I wanted to watch or read or the scene or whatever. And it's just like, oh, well.
I'm never going to be a gooner or whatever they're called. Like, I just don't think I could, like, I don't have that energy level anymore or time.
No, God, no. Jesus Christ.
But
did you have another story or was that the story?
Those are all my stories, right. Girl.
Oh, all right, cool.
Yeah,
I don't have anything. I got nothing for you. I got beans. Yeah, I don't think that's even a saying.
Well, I mean, I'm sure people do say I got beans. Like,
possibly,
sure. That's true.
It's been a fucking weird 2 weeks. So
yeah.
So yeah.
Anything?
So I'll get back to you. No, okay. I don't want to talk about my life right now. It's horrible, but I need to get back to working out regularly because I took a little couple week hiatus and I can feel it. Like my libido instantly goes down.
Ooh,
instantly.
Interesting.
And the longer I go without working out, the worse off I am. And it's just not ideal. I gotta stay on top of work. And that's not the only reason, obviously, but it's one of my least favorite parts of not working out. It's just feeling shittier, not sleeping as easily, and my libido. Yeah.
I have to agree with that. Like, I've always been skeptical of, like, the claim. And, like, yeah, I know endorphins are a thing and shit. But, like,
yeah,
it's fucking true. My partner and I were, like, reveling. Like I'm just fucking horny all the fucking time. You know,
I don't necessarily, I think eating better probably helps.
Sure.
I don't have like anecdotal evidence one way or the other aside from when I don't eat. Obviously if I'm eating something that like makes me feel logy or weighed down or bloated, yeah. So I mean, I guess you could just say that yes, eating better makes my libido go up as well. But working out is definitely the thing for me.
Yeah. I mean, it's that balance, man. Mind, body, soul, so to speak.
So I'm going to get back to it. And then by the time I talk to you again, I will have had, hopefully, watched a thing or something.
That would be so fucking cool. Yeah, I would love that because, you know, it's weird. You don't actually meet a lot of people like who dig it. Like, you know, but I meet a lot of people who say I hate to read. So like I never know what to do with that statement.
It's the smut book industry is at its highest right now. So like it's just who you're talking to, really.
Oh my God, smut book. I love it. Yeah. That would be a great company
name.
That's
such a fucking, like, what do they call it? There's like a whole TikTok side of the world that just talks about their smutty novels. That's all they talk about.
Interesting.
And there's a cult following for it.
Well, and I've been noticing on like the queer male side a little bit, this kind of like resurgence of like, I don't know, like gay men, like just the gay men stereotype of loving antiques. Like they're like all this kind of fetishization of these old golden era, like gay porn magazines, like Honcho and like whatever that like aren't in like distribution anymore, but like, you know, with this very like 1970s kind of porn centerfold like look, big mustaches, hairy chests were in, you know, and like boots. I don't know. Like boots. Everybody dressed like a member of like the YMCA band, you know? So like it's cute, but like it's very, I don't know. I think we're gonna have to start being more imaginative out here in the world soon. Mm. I don't know what it is. And I don't think it's necessarily about being more shocking. And I think people mistake that a lot in like, you know, all sorts of industries. But like just like, I don't know. Like, let's think about some of these things differently. Like, think about getting turned on, you know. I don't know. I guess I'm just, like, an intellectual sex person, which sounds like such a fucking hipster thing to say.
Intersexual.
But I do love, like, you know, I don't know, like, some... I don't know. Like, it's like dancing, right? Like, I want a good dance. Like, I don't want to just, like, you know, be on my knees immediately, so to speak.
I think it's all about how you first were introduced to porn and interacted with it, because yeah, that's where most of our shit comes from, right? Sure. Our fetishes, our paraphilias, our needs when it comes to sex and sexuality is often what happened at the beginning. And I know you were a reader
yeah,
for a long time.
That's
true. You didn't have the internet to just pull up a fucking porn no. on in your like years.
Oh my God, that's so true. I definitely like scoured the library for things that like had...
Yeah, and you were reading like, oh, Penthouse's submission, yeah, you know.
Yeah, I like the storylines.
Secrets lines. And Q&As yeah. and shit like that. I was yeah. the same, so
it's
I get
like
it.
Dirty talk is like hot, I guess. Like seeing it like
yeah, and a lot of people have ADHD to the point where they can't actually read because
no,
their brain
sure.
goes a thousand other places, so it makes sense that like it's not everybody's favorite form of porn.
I will tell you, it is hard to be like a disciplined reader because like, you know, mm-hmm. I feel like in this world I get my news and like written sound bites on my phone, so to speak. And it's like, and I feel after a while, like after reading like news and updates and like, you know, you're like, my brain is tired. I'm like, I can't read anything else unless it's like something about like some cheese made about one of the Real Housewives, because it's like it's stupid mind numbing shit, like, you know. And
yeah,
you know, and I think that's an important balance too. We like can't judge each other for our like guilty, stupid pleasures that like help us de-escalate from whatever day we've had.
Oh, there's no judgment. I can simply say like that was a stupid story. Hey, if you get off to it, go for it. It's not, I'm not judging.
Yeah, more power to you.
I think that's it. I think that's a wrap for today. I don't have any sexual fun things to say, so I feel like it's better to put a plug on it before I whine about my life, maybe.
Okay, let's put a plug in it.
Yeah, put a butt plug right up there.
Okay, ready? I'm going to put some Crisco on it.
Oh, Jesus.
Woohoo!
Thanks for tuning in, and if you would like to donate to my GoFundMe, my link is in my Instagram. Okay, thanks.
Bye.